the great Kahan Malakia Hawkins.
Yeah, praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Welcome home, saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Is everyone striving for the goal?
Yeah,
praise Yahweh. Now this feast is going to be a very, very awesome feast. This feast will be a feast, you know, to remember. Because this feast might even go down in the history of the house of Yahweh. Because of the goal that Pastor, you know, is speaking about. Now, last week when Pastor spoke, you know, he said to remember the foundation. He said, remember the foundation. And we know the foundation is the prophet and the apostles. That is our foundation. And also he said, remember purity. And he said, the golden oil that is being poured out into our head. The golden oil that is being poured into our heads. That is our mind at this time. Now, what I would like everyone to remember is we are the produce of the olive tree. Right? We are the produce of the olive tree. Now, Israel Hawkins is the olive tree. Right? So that makes us the sons and daughters of Israel Hawkins, the children of Israel Hawkins. Okay? Praise Yahweh. Now he's the one that is supplying the food. He is the one that is supplying the food, you know, through Yahweh's giving him, inspiring him through Yahshua Messiah, and he is the one that is supplying us this food. Just like Proverbs 31:15 said, you don't have to turn there. It said, She rise up while it is still night. Now remember this word night. Remember this word night. If you have to write it down, remember that word night. It said, she rise up while it is still night and give food to her household. Right? And a provision to her maidens. Mighty side note for food, G. It said, the food is instructions and order. You know, he rise up early. And I know a lot of people, some of us here, Pastor will call us very early in the morning. Say, you're up? Say, yeah. And next morning, he'll call back half an hour earlier. And you say, you're up? I say, yeah. And he start laying down the instruction that, you know, he wants us to carry out. But let us look at Zechariah, because what we're going to do, we're just going to rehearse slightly. Now, the title of this sermon is, we are the children of Israel Hawkins. We are the children of Israel Hawkins, which is receiving the golden oil, who will wait on Yahshua. All right, that is the title of the sermon. So let us rehearse slightly. Let's go over to Zechariah 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Let us just rehearse slightly. Zechariah chapter 4. We'll be going through verse 1 to 3, 11 to 13. Zechariah chapter 4, he said, and the monarch who talked with me came again and woke me as a man who was woken out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So he said, I see and behold a lampstand of all gold with its bowl for oil on top of it with its seven lamp, which is the seven wick on it. And there are seven pipes to the seven lamp. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side of it. Down to verse 11. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the lampstand and upon the left side of it? Then I spoke to him again and said to him, what are these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil through them? Now you see, emptying the golden oil, the pipe emptying the golden oil. He answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my ruler. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand for the supreme ruler of the universe. Right? He said, these are the two. Now, this olive tree, this pastor is the olive tree that is pouring out this golden oil. So the question is, what is required of us? What Yahweh command us to do? So let us turn over to Exodus. Exodus 27. Exodus 27, verse 20. He said, command the children of Israel. Right? So this is Yahweh saying. He said, command the children of Israel to bring you clear oil of pressed olive for the light. So this is what Yahweh is commanding us, to bring forth clear oil of pressed olive. Now, what I want us to remember, we are the produce of Israel Hawking. We are the produce of the olive tree. Now, this is taken from www.biblehistory, Ancient Olive Press. They said the farmer would grab the branch of the olive tree and tap the branch with a stick. They would then pick up the fallen olives, being careful not to bruise them. So in other words, what is saying that they're not putting any olive that has spot or wrinkle or blemish inside, you know, this press. He said, each olive is filled with oil. Now remember, we are the produce of Yisrael Hawkins. He said, each olive is filled with oil. Speaking about that golden oil that pastor is speaking about, that is flowing out, that he's bringing, that is pouring out to us at this time. He said, in fact, over half of its weight is pure oil. So what he's looking for is pure oil, no unadulterated oil. It has to be totally pure. He said, the next pit are removed, and the olives are gently placed into a large basin. And the pressing begins by rolling a large millstone. There was a large wooden stick placed through the center of the stone to help roll it into a circle over the olives. Right? Now this is what it looks like. Everyone can see this? Okay, this is the big stone here, right? And the olive is placed down here, right? Down to the basin here, right? Now this olive press, give this olive press a name. Who would like to guess what I named it? Anyone who want to guess? Okay, here what I name it. The day-to-day grinder. No, this is the day-to-day grinder, you know, that we have to be going through constantly for that, you know, to bring out that pure olive oil, right? This is what we have to be going through each and every day. You see, the oil will flow into a container and a crushed pulp into a basket. Now, listen very closely what it said. It said, this first pressing was the purest oil. Speaking about us, the first pressing was the purest oil and was used mainly for the lamp, right? Bringing forth the laws of Yahweh. Remember, Yahshua said, we are the light of this world. It's a cosmetic and holy anointing. Now, let us just look at, this taken from the Book of Life, the Law Commentary. It said, according to the New Bible Dictionary, second edition by J.D. Douglas, page 854. It said, the presence of oil symbolized gladness. That is Isaiah 61:3. It said, oil was used as an image of comfort. Oil was used as an image of comfort. Now let us just look over to Psalms. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, it said, verse 1 said, Yahweh is our shepherd, we shall not want. That means lacking nothing. We are not going to lack anything. It said, he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. It said, Yahweh restore our lives. Yahweh restores our lives. And this is what coming to the house does. Yahweh starts restoring our lives. The word restore. Restore means to bring it into existence. To bring back to a form, to bring back to a former or original condition. So this is what the restoration is all about. Right? Yahweh is restoring our life. He said he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He said, yes, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. So it's showing us Yahweh is going to protect us. Right? This is what it's showing. Yahweh is going to protect us. It said, your rod and your staff, they comfort us. This is the comfort that we are getting. Yeshua Hawkins is that rod that is comforting us. Day to day, when we sin, he will come and tell us, well, look, instill, continue instilling that hope of Yahweh promise, of Yahweh plan in us. Right, that is the comfort that we are getting on our day-to-day grind. This is the comfort that we are getting. It said, you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemy. It said, you anoint our head with oil or with that golden oil. And this is what Pastor was talking about here. Right, it said the golden oil that is being poured out into our heads at this time. Right, now the word anoint. The word anoint means to put oil on as a sign. And we know what the sign is. The sign is a mark. The sign is a mark, the Sabbath day and the feast days. Right? To put oil on as a sign of consecration. And we know what to consecrate means. You know, it's setting us aside, setting us apart for a special use. Right, this is what it's all about. This is what the anointed oil is all about. This is the oil that is bringing forth, that our pastor is bringing forth. He said, our cup overflows, which means that we'll store up all this knowledge. Right, we have to store up all this oil, store up the knowledge. And how we store up the knowledge, I brought some of my storage here for everyone to see. This is building moral excellence. This is just one of the storage. Right? Now, I could not walk with all the storage because I'd have, you know, we'd have a whole heap of books outside here. Now, this is another storage. This part of the storage also, the oil that we store constantly. And this one is high dollar. You know why? You know why this one is high dollar? Look at the front here. What you see in there? You see? You see the signature? This one is real, real high dollar. High dollar. Okay. Now, it said our cup overflowed, which means we will have enough in our storage. Now, back to the Law Commentary. Now, remember the word darkness. Comfort us and spiritual nourishment. Right now, the seventh lampstand was lit by the priest in the evening. Right, it was lit in the evening, in order to cause light to shine into the period of darkness. Right? So the lamp was lit at evening. Now, this evening is not speaking only about a 24-hour. Right? That evening not speaking only about a 24-hour. But it's speaking about, it's referring to from the first priest, Abel. That's where the evening starts. When Abel was destroyed, that starts that period of darkness. Right? Coming straight down to the second Abel, which will bring in the morning. So this is what Exodus 27:21 said. It said, in the tent of meeting, which is outside the veil, that is in front of the testimony, in the holy place, Aaron and his son, now, the Roman Catholic, you know, pastor shows they are not the sons of Aaron at this time. They are more like orphans because they are not bringing forth that holy oil that Yahweh commanded the children of Israel to bring forth. They say Aaron and his son are to keep the lamp burning in front of Yahweh. It said from the evening until the morning. So it shows us that period of darkness from the first Abel to this last Abel. That period of darkness, you know, bringing forth every priest that is ordained to bring forth that light. It said the priests were to guard this light by keeping the lamp burning, so the darkness could not overcome the people who Yahweh have called out for himself. This is done through the ordained work of Yahweh. Yahweh has appointed his house, the house of Yahweh, to shine as a light in a dark place. Yahweh have appointed his house in order to accomplish his work of his plan of salvation. The priests who light the lamp are the teachers who Yahweh have placed in his house, ordaining them to teach his laws to the people. He said, through obedience to the law. And this is what Pastor mentioned, the golden oil. Total obedience to Yahweh's laws. They said, the covenant people of Yahweh will have the opportunity to come to perfection and achieve the holy priesthood. In these last days, Yahweh have established his house and set the house of Yahweh in order to prepare the way for the second coming of Yahshua. Right? Prepare the way for the second coming of Yahshua. Now, let us look and see some of the protection that Yahweh, you know, is giving his house. Let us turn over to Matthew chapter 25. Remember, we have to store this oil in our mind, in our hearts. It's the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. It's the kingdom of Yahweh may be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamp and went out to meet the bride. So 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamp, but took no oil. You see, they didn't store that golden oil that has been coming to us. They didn't store any form of that oil. He said, while the wise took the oil in their jars with them, with their lamp. He said, but whilst the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumber and slept. Verse 6 said, and at midnight, speaking about that time when sin have reached its peak. He said, and at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bride comes, go out to meet him. So you're looking at a particular time period. Now we're looking at the protection. We're looking at the protection that Yahweh will give to those children of Israel Hawkins who store up that golden oil. And let us go to a well familiar script here. I can't, you know, like every time I have to harp on this particular script here. Psalms 91, verse 1, it said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we know that the shadow is protection. But it said abides. Right? Now, this word abides mean is 3885 from Strong's. And I just want to read just one part of it. It means to stay permanently, to stop, and it said usually overnight. Right? So it said usually overnight. So we're talking about that same time period where the world is in total darkness. Those who will be protected is those who stay in the house of Yahweh. Right. Those are the ones going to be protected. No one else. Right? It said those who stayed in the house of Yahweh permanently are the ones going to be protected. So brothers and sisters, let us continue to strive diligently, you know, to acquire the golden oil that passes pouring out on us constantly. And let us go ahead and store it, you know, keep on going through the writings of Pastor. So we'll be well familiar with it. So when that time comes, when the bridegroom comes, we'll be well prepared. So with this, will you all please stand? I'd like to turn the service over to the great Kohan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Welcome, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. The prophecies are now being fulfilled so fast, and so many of them, that we almost don't have enough time for the news. In fact, we've got a lot of news today, but there was even more that we could have played. But it's all of it is supporting exactly what Pastor has been talking about for decades, and all of it is increasing. None of it is decreasing. There's nothing contradicting anything the House of Yahweh is saying. This is all proving that the pastor is exactly right on everything he's teaching us from the Holy Scriptures. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Wow, we got a feast going, brother. The house is full. Oh, and it's beautiful. Praise Yahweh. That's got one visit now. You may be seated.
I'm supposed to read a card from all the donkeys. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The males and female donkeys, colts, who helped carry the load of sowing preparations for the feast of gold, as you requested. We will be demonstrating tying the seats today. There's also more sewing to do. After we have wrapped all the work up, come to the main sanctuary if you are interested. If you're not interested, come see me. I'd like to talk to you. I know you're all interested or you wouldn't be here. I know did you notice the Pope was covering a bunch of sins with gold? He's wearing gold as if he's covering something up, and he's hiding his sins as Nineveh did. What we're seeing right now, and the reason we're showing so much of this news, we did not show you half of what I wanted to, but then we didn't have the time to do so either. So we'll just have to get to it as we can. Maybe during the feast. Now, last week, I hope you remember that sermon, because I started something here about the kingdom divided that this new Pope Francis has inherited. The kingdom that we're going to inherit is not divided. There will not be division in Yahweh's kingdom. Praise Yahweh. We have the perfect laws to guide us, and everyone that gets into the kingdom will agree totally to those perfect laws, or they won't get in the kingdom. And if they get in there, they won't stay long. They'll get caught. What we're seeing right now in the news is exactly what was started with Cush. He started schools, colleges of higher learning. Now, if you'll really pay close attention to the news, you'll see exactly that's exactly what Francis is also already instituted. They had it planned. The Catholic Church had it planned before he ever came into office. And, of course, when this other pope stepped down, he really didn't step down. He just stepped behind closed doors. And we have two popes that yield a lot of power, both of them. So they've doubled their power among the people. And this one, though, this Francis, he's the one, if you noticed him kissing the babies and putting on a front here, this is trickery that's shown in 2 Thessalonians that he would do. He's a magician. He knows, he's a psychiatrist. He knows how to win friends and influence enemies. And of course they think by kissing a baby or kissing, someone who's sick that he really cares. And of course this is a front that he puts forth. But you'll see differently in what he brings forth in his actions here, in his alliances, that, and I want you to remember that word. In his alliances with the West, of course, and then the Mediterranean nations also. But in Jonah, we see a strategy here. And of course, this is one of the cities of Cush that he first started with Babylon. And they called it Shinar. It was Babylon that they started building. And of course, he was a tyrant. And if you see what went on with the Crusades, you'll see the same tyranny that was put forth by this school of higher learning. And it was done just like it's being done today by the Pope, but it's being brought about as if he's going to bring peace. He's striving to bring peace and take care of the poor. He cares for the poor, and he wants to bring them peace. Well, this is the front that he puts on. And the news shows, of course, that things are being done like the banks. Now, this was set up years ago with the banking system so they could control the nations. And they can actually freeze accounts of a nation, and they have. And the nations that they have frozen right now, and this is done, as Revelation shows, Revelations 12:15 from their own, shows the United States of the Catholic and Christian religion, the two-horned beast that rose up where there was no multitudes, nations, and peoples, or nations and tongues. And of course, that was not, the only place that could have been was the United States, which wasn't discovered when the prophecies was written. Magnificent prophecies. Now, in this same account, Nineveh, she was a major city. Now, I know the architectural workers, they tried to belittle that statement, and they that was given in the scriptures, and they said, Nineveh wasn't but 16 miles long. But then the later archaeology proves that it was over 60 miles long. And if you were walking and you tried to walk from one end of that city to the other, you'd find out how big that city was. But it was over 60, almost 70 miles long. And it was a major city. And of course, Yahweh told Yana, he said, this city is going to be destroyed. Now, of course, it had interfered in Yahweh's work, and that's the reason that Yahweh destroyed Nineveh. And it first repented, and then it turned back to its same sins, and then later it was destroyed. And you know, you couldn't even find where a city had been. And it was due to much archaeological work. They had to dig down like 20 feet to even find the layers of this city. So you can see what a job they had, and the way it was destroyed, worthy of many remarks, I think. Several sermons could be preached on that alone, and the prophecy that was fulfilled there. But Yahweh sent Noah, and he said, go and warn them of what they've done, because they've spread their evil. They've spread their evil all over the world. And of course, he was talking about people who dressed in scarlet red. And the ones who also were dressed in scarlet red and took over Nineveh and destroyed it, they were dressed in scarlet red too. If you remember the Catholic Church, they normally wear the scarlet red. Why did they change to gold all of a sudden? I think they must have heard the house of Yahweh speaking. Anyway, history says that that Nineveh, this great empire, was so completely obliterated, according to the prophesied remarks of the Hebrew prophets, that it became like a myth until its discovery by Sir Austin Layard and others in the 19th century. Well, Yahweh had to bring to light this, and of course in the 19th century he did for the house of Yahweh. But he let them go on in their own foolishness, saying, oh, this is a bunch of lies, this didn't take place. Read the history now and you'll see that it did take place. And the last discoveries was in the 19th century. In Genesis 10, I need you to go there, and let me see if I can find my notes here. Not that one, for sure. I'll do it without notes. Go to Genesis 10. We see here this Cush. Now, his sons are given, the names of his sons are given in verse 7. So, his sons are there. But now verse 8, it shows Cush begot. The regular Hebrew says he fathered. He fathered Nimrod. This wasn't his son. But Nimrod, if you'll notice, he established or took over a whole bunch of cities here. And he wasn't but 13 years old. He'd been established, and in that 13 years, he'd taken over all these cities. Well, this, of course, was the tyranny that was created or invented by what is known as, by people known as the Catholic Church today. If you get that in your mind, yes, they were in operation at this time, invented by Cush, who formed schools of higher learning. And I brought all this before. If you haven't heard it, you really need to get the details on it, get the sermons and listen to them. But the thing called Nimrod, Nimrod itself, the word means rebellion. It means he rebelled. And he taught this rebellion in the schools. They taught all kinds of academics, of course, but what they mostly taught was war and how to actually scheme to take over and build their own empire from the other cities that other people had actually built. But they went in and took them, and I'll have to get to it later. peace for something. I'll get it to you later. But anyway, they promised these cities peace if they would cooperate with them, if they would be partners with them in what they were doing, or if they would ally with them, become their allies, then they promised them peace. Now, they also promised them, if you don't ally with us, you will be destroyed. We will take your people, we'll destroy you, take your people, and we'll destroy the city. So in this way, these tyrants, they went out everywhere in the land. And this is what you see in other places at this time. Now, back to Jonah, or Yonah, and Nineveh. He says, now this is a history of this, what took place. He said, an alliance. What destroyed Nineveh? Now, the word here that I want you to remember, you need really to write this down several places in your book of Yahweh. An alliance of Medes, Babylonians, and Sisaeans destroyed Nineveh in August, 612 B.C. An alliance. Well, here's what you see that took place with Cush. He said, if we ally together, we will build us a strong tower that no one can take over. It wasn't like someone built a ladder up into heaven. You know, that's impossible. You run out of oxygen as you go up anyway, you know, and that's it's stupid. What they built, they took over these cities and they built them. They got them to ally with them, and they built them an empire here with a strong army, a roving army. A roving army that did their fighting for them. Remember the ruthless, violent men now, put all this together. In Genesis 49, Yahweh shows you who they are. And of course, we can trace that back. That's easily done today because of the computer works that we have now available. But the Yahweh shows you what came forth from these tribes to all the world that he scattered abroad to begin with. And then he scattered the 12 tribes into these, and they became one in their character, in their schools of education, everything. And of course, the violence that was in these men, that Yahweh showed you the violence that was bred into them, that he put out there, that we have to deal with today, of course. That's exactly what we're dealing with. And the people in the Catholic Church, Masons, the Jesuit priests, Francis is a Jesuit now. They tell that. The Jesuits made some of the strongest vows of murder of any of the Catholic offices. And when I say offices, it's a government. The Catholic Church is a huge government that has its own schools of teaching that it sends out to the countries to train those who ally with them. Now, also in this same setup, you know, it's like the petrodollar. Now, you ally with us using the petrodollar, of course, and we'll bring you a lot of riches because you can buy and sell through us. The same thing is with the euro. And with those two great powers, they control all the money in the world, the euro and the dollar. And you can't operate without it. And this is the way. And then they control the banks. They own the banks. So they can shut down. They can freeze any assets they want to at any time to keep anyone from using them. Well, this history now, an alliance of Medes, Babylonians, and I'll spell the word Scythians. Now, these three allied together, and they went in and they destroyed Nineveh. Yahweh didn't destroy Nineveh, but he prophesied that it would be destroyed. If you turn over to Nahum, I'll give you the page number. It's a very small book. It's found on page 708. 708. Nekomya. We want chapter 2 and notice 1 through 3. He who dashes to the ground has come up before your face. Man, the fortress, watch the road, strengthen yourselves, fortify your power mightily. For Yahweh will restore the excellency of Jacob. So it had to do with Jacob to begin with, as other scriptures show. As the excellency of Israel, for the plunderers have emptied themselves out and destroyed their own branches. The shields, he's talking about wars within among the tribes, the 12 tribes that they try to separate in history, but it was no such thing. The shields, verse 3, the shields of his warriors are colored red. Red? Red, you get that? He's giving you clues here to know what to look for. It wasn't just an army. You're going to have to realize that. What the moves that he's making right now that I hope to get into and cover during the feast thoroughly, the moves that he is making right now is to start taking under control by using his allies that have already given their support, the United States, Great Britain. That's the two great armies that's given their support. But he has many Mediterranean allies already under his control. So he thinks it's time now that he can actually take over the world and resurrect the Roman Empire again. And that's what he's made. He's made his statement that that's what we need. Well, when he makes the statement of what we need, you can bet he has different offices of government that have tentacles in all the governments of the world, and they go to work to try to establish and bring about step by step what he wants to bring. Right now, you saw Barack Obama go over and talk friendly to Netanyahu. While he was there, he made Netanyahu go and apologize to Turkey for what he did to their ship that they sent to Hamas. After he left Netanyahu, then he went to Hamas and talked to them. Now, he didn't just go there to shake hands and have a picnic. He went there to lay out a plan. And he went there as the governments always do. You can follow this route, and you will be given this. You follow this route that you're taking now. If you don't cooperate, as Nimrod said, the men wearing the red, Nimrod said, then you're going to start losing. We're going to start taking this blessings away from you. We're going to start shutting it off. They're shutting Iran down. They're taking their money away from them. They're freezing their assets. Now, they started selling oil for gold, and they have survived some. But they haven't even started to use all the freezes that they could and will in order to bring them down. Syria, too. And North Korea. You're going to see this. It's all planned out to take these one at a time. Well, here now you see Nahum and his prophecy concerning Nineveh, and you see the same situation, the same scenario taking place here in Nahum here that you do right now in the world with Barack Obama, the hitman, the one that goes out and issues the orders of Nimrod, or the people in the red, who's now changed their color to gold and white, pretending they are saints, they're saints of Satan, the devil. That's what 1 John 3:4-8 shows. I dare anyone to read that's angry with me right now. But if you don't keep the laws of Yahweh at his house, you belong to Satan the devil, and that is a fact, a scriptural fact. Well, now you see here in Nahum, the second chapter in verse 3, you see these violent men, these warriors, are colored red. Well, who sent those warriors? Who feeds those warriors? Who sent them out to begin with to go to this city? Who allied these warriors, these three great armies that destroyed Nineveh to begin with? The men in red, scarlet red. Look, violent men are in scarlet. Scarlet red. These are priests. Priests. Write that down if you want to. Check me out. The chariots blaze, the flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the cypresses will be terribly shaken. It's coming upon you, he says. It's going to destroy you. In chapter 3 now, we get another insight here in verse 19, the last part, but let's read it all. Chapter 3 of Nahum and verse 19, there is no healing for your injury. Your wound is severe. All who hear the news about you claps his hands at your fall. For upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually? Well, that wickedness, of course, was also getting into Yahweh's plan, or would have interfered with his plan if he had not be turning over to Zephaniah. Turn over to Zephaniah, the second chapter. It would have interfered with Yahweh's plan of bringing forth two women that was actually active in Yeshua's life, that we'll be singing about this Yeshua's Passover. And you need to learn that too, that song. I think they have it set up to teach this afternoon, sometime this afternoon in the sanctuary here, after the work is done. Okay, he said yes. And we got a yes over here somewhere, right? So, okay. So the two women that were deeply involved in Yeshua's life, and very interesting, all the prophecies that go with this. But here in Zephaniah now, 3, in verse 1, he says, woe to her that is filthy, rebellious. Well, that was what Babylon means, Nimrod means. It means he who rebelled and polluted, defiled. If you read Revelation 17 now, you'll see that this great whore, which sits on seven hills of Rome, is full of abominations. and filthiness. So he's given you clues here to look for and to show you what's in the last days, as is prophesied. I'm sorry, Nahum is found on Sophonia is found on pages 713. It's just a little ways from Yonah. 713, we're in chapter 3 and verse 1. Polluted, defiled, the city of oppression. Well, of course, that's what we see now in Genesis. She did not obey the voice of Yahweh. She has not received correction. He sent prophets to her. She never received correction. She has not trusted in Yahweh. She has not drawn near to her father. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Where did you see that before? For the last days, too. Genesis 49 of the 12 tribes. Roaring lions. Her princes are as roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. Remember in Genesis 49 again, like a pack of wolves or a ravenous wolf that do not leave a bone for the morning. Her prophets, see, she's speaking of priests here. Her prophets are light making an empty show with mere words, like kissing babies and kissing sick people, and treacherous, untrue, deceitful, betraying people. Her priests defile, remember Isaiah 65, they eat swine's flesh, and the broth of abominable things is floating in their blood vessels. And that is what the Catholic Church is today for breaking Yahweh's laws. And of course, their minds are confused, and that's the reason they're having the trouble. No answers can be found for the situation they've brought upon the earth. Her priests defile what is holy, and they violate the law. Yahweh in her midst is just. He will not do iniquity. Every morning he brings his justice like the light. He does not fail, but the unjust knows no shame. So Yahweh had priests working in that town, but they were being defiled by the situation set up there, the same it was set up for the Crusades, in the Crusades, the Inquisitions, the same thing. It never changed from the start even until today. Verse 6, I have cut off the nations, their towers of strength. The same thing we saw in Genesis 11, Genesis the 11th chapter. It was a tower of strength, alliance. Remember that word, alliance, please. Towers are desolate. I have made their streets waste. None walk in them. Their cities are destroyed. Now this is speaking as if it had already occurred, but it hadn't. There is no man, there is no inhabitant. I said, oh, that you would reverence me, that you would accept correction. Then destruction would not come to her dwelling, nor will my punishment, judge that should be judgment, decreed for her. But all the more they were eager to corrupt all their doings from early morning. Therefore, wait for me, says Yahweh, until the day that I will raise up to judge. Now, this is in the last days, of course. Remember, this is when the judgment actually goes out. The work that we're doing right now, bringing judgment, true judgment of Yahweh to the earth. For my judicial decisions is to gather the nations and to assemble the kingdoms, to pour out upon them my judgment. All my furious anger, not true. This right here is the correct translation. I don't have it with me, but it's Yahweh's judgment showing their furious indignation and what it was is going to bring them. And of course, King James made it look like that Yahweh is angry because they didn't obey, so he's going to bring this trouble upon them. Not so at all. It was their own people that destroyed Nineveh. Their own allies, in fact, that turned against them. For all the earth will be consumed by fire. Now here he's giving you a last day's prophecy of this system. You see that? Of the same system that we have right now, and he's giving you a last day's prophecy of this. Yes, at that time I will return to the people the pure word. That's what we're doing. That's why in the last days I will establish my house, and it will take this message to all nations, and Yahweh will judge among the nations and draw out about 2 billion people, so that all of them may call on the name. We get that 2 billion here. The great Kohan Malakia may have enough help. Right now, he could use some help. So could all of us. That all of them may call on the name of Yahweh and serve him with one accord. Notice that, one accord, unity. It's not in these men of red, the priests of red, that have now put on white trying to deceive, as Revelation 6 shows they would. And now they're wearing the gold crown. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worship, the daughter of my dispersed, will bring offerings to me. That's a long ways, but it's coming, brethren. It's coming here to his established house. In that day, you will not be ashamed for all your doings by which you have transgressed against me, for then I will remove from the midst of you those who rejoice in your pride, and you will no longer be haughty because of my holy mountain. Remember Isaiah 2:2, in the last days the promotion translated mountain of the house of Yahweh will be established. Same thing here, but said in a different way. I will also leave in the midst of you afflicted and poor, humble and lowly people, and they will trust in the name Yahweh. The remnant of Israel will not do iniquity. They will not practice doing away with the laws, nor speak lies, neither will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they will feed and lie down, and none will make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem, daughter of those who keep Yahweh's 613 laws. Daughter, she, the woman, the two women. Yahweh has taken away the judgment against you. He has cast out your enemies, the king of Israel. Yahweh is in the midst of you. Right now, he's in the midst of you. Today is his appointment with us. You will no longer have to fear evil. Well, of course, all of this went out as a warning to Nineveh before it was destroyed, and it was destroyed. That's quite a prophecy there that was fulfilled, and we'll get deeper into it as the feast goes. Yahweh willing. I'm always setting things, and then things come up, and I have to change it, but I hope this time it will stay intact, and we can cover this. The two women, God, there's a lot to say there that we need to cover. We covered one of them, remember Nora, and then the other one that brought forth the last work, and of the two witnesses, and it all needs to be covered in the prophecies, because I haven't got around to it, but I will. Yahweh willing, I will. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next speaker.
I love you!